passe à un artiste. Super, encore un but sensationnel. That's a brilliant bit of follow-up play by Mahé. Oh my goodness me, what a shot.
Sagosen. Sagosen setter det hen. Han setter den. De I semifinale.
The handball world has been united. We all stand together, looking at a villain across the water. And that villain is Jay Cutler. I don't know how this happened. After the European Championship, we're all in such a high. It's such a feel-good atmosphere. But it didn't feel quite there. You know, nations are still divided. The Norwegians are still angry at the Croatians. The Croatians are still angry at the refs. But all together now, we are one handball nation, united in hate. And that hate is of a video that popped up on my timeline. Nothing too specific about it. Former NFL player Jay Cutler sitting in a podcast studio, which is famous for its hot takes. A little bit like us.
Don't compare us to them.
At least our hot takes are fueled by knowledge. I think what really united the handball world was this lack of knowledge, but also disrespect.
Shall we play the video? Shall we just play the video?
Yeah, okay. Let's just play the audio for the people who missed it.
I do want to get a team together for the Olympics. They have I think it's handball, but it's basically like a little ball that you throw around and then throw into a goal. So it's like soccer, indoor soccer with a ball that you throw.
Oh, you should play that.
You'd be very good handball.
That would be so sick if you started. If you like,
there's a U.S. team, but like I want to go and do that.
Yes. You should.
Just throwing missiles.
I think if it was you, Patrick Mahomes, and LeBron, just how many players play in handball? Like eight on a single time? So if it was you three against eight players from any other country, I think we win.
I guarantee we can put a team together that can win gold.
Yes.
Guaranteed.
I would absolutely agree with that. Yeah, just from pure like arm speed. I don't think the guys in other countries.
And just a really big guy as a goalie back there. If you watch it, I've studied this from time to time.
It sounds like I'm ready to go.
If you watch it, usually all these teams like have an old guy that plays goalie that's just like, he literally, if someone's coming, he just like just guesses and just throws his hand up.
Yeah.
Sometimes hits the ball, sometimes doesn't.
So you sent me that link, Alex, and I was watching this video. And you know when you're watching a video and you get so angry, you stop looking at the screen and you stare off into the distance, but you're still listening to what people are saying. That's the kind of mood I was in. I just couldn't believe what I was hearing. After coming all the way back from the European Championship, where I saw people put their bodies on the line, playing games 2 days in a row, giving it their all, and then some guy whose name I only heard before, I've never seen it, I wouldn't have recognized his face, Jay Cutler, saying that, if these people walk around throwing a small little ball, could you imagine me unleashing missiles? I was just like, oh my God, where is this going here? And then we uploaded the video and then it got a good bit of reaction to it. People were very angry, of course. And then Nikola Karabatic retweeted. We're like, that's great. And then today, Luka Doncic retweeted it and it absolutely exploded.
I'm so glad that Alex sent the link to you, Brian, because I saw the video and it was just like, my reaction to it was kind of, it's a stupid thing. And we had, we'll speak to John Ryan later in the podcast. He tweeted about it as well as the go-to guy for American news. But it was only really when you were inspired by hatred and you putting the actual video on Twitter that sparked all of this. Because before it was just a few people, I guess, having a similar reaction to mine, saying, "Oh, this is stupid. This is just an idiot giving his hot take on a sport he knows nothing about." But you took it to another level by actually putting it on Twitter, and that's what has sparked probably the biggest debate about handball that the internet has ever had? Question mark?
Possibly. But I disagree with Alex, what you said there at the beginning. They dish out hot takes much like us. I think their level of hot takes is at a completely different level to our level of hot takes. When someone's sitting there going, oh, wait, how many people in handball? 8? And the guy beside him goes, yeah, sure. Like, that's a different level of hot takes to our hot takes now, I think. I think two donks sitting on a couch talking to Jay Cutler. Anyways, but I think... about a day I'm removed after I put the video up, and I was looking at their social media, and the show was called Pardon My Take. And in the little blurb below their name, it's like, hottest and most correct sports takes known to man. So then I was thinking, did we just fall into the honeypot? Are we just giving them loads of free advertising at the same time? But then again, I was thinking, look, anyone who's talking about handball in that sphere, and in the sphere of the English-speaking world, is only a good thing, I think. And even if it is those really terrible hot takes, I think they're indirectly promoting the sport a lot, you know, whether they like it or not. The thing I wouldn't agree with is what I saw a lot of people doing online was the opposite of what, or no, it's the other side of the coin of what the guys on Pardon My Take were doing, is people trying to slag off the athletes in American football, saying, oh, they're wearing pads, they don't know real contact and all that kind of stuff. That stuff doesn't make sense either. And I don't think that's the solution to any of that, to start slagging off the other sport, because that doesn't really bring you anywhere. But Jay Cutler's attitude towards the whole thing is something that really baffled me. Do you know, I was like, this is a guy who played American football at the highest level, took a huge amount of work to get there, and then he looks at another sport and just goes, I could do that, and I'm so sure I could do that, I could win a gold medal at the highest level, you know. And it's just like, win an Olympic gold medal. That, to me, it was the most mind-blowing thing I think ever. Whatever people not knowing the rules or thinking it looks easy, but thinking you can go all the way and win an Olympic medal is absolutely incredible. And now I finally know, for people who play curling, think of the rest of the world. Because everybody,
yeah.
Everybody watches curling and goes, I could win a gold medal in curling. Someone on this podcast has said that a few times, but anyway.
No. I said I would love to play curling after my handball days are over. I'm not claiming I can win an Olympic medal in curling.
Drunk one night in Sweden back about 7 years ago, and you said to me, Brian, you looked me right in the eye and you said, Brian, I think I can win a gold medal in curling. And I said, Chris, put some trousers on.
I think I could take Irish curling to the next level. But I did not think for one second that I could do anything at the Olympics. Oh my God. Well, okay. I think there's a better chance of me doing something in curling than Jay Cutler winning an Olympic gold medal in handball.
I think both of those are quite unrealistic scenarios, Chris. I like you, but I've seen you with a broom.
I'm not going to delve to that level of making such stupid hot takes about a sport. Well, to be fair, I actually enjoy curling. It's kind of mesmerizing. In its own way. To give a bit more context for those of you who may not have seen the reply from Nikola Karabatic, where he basically said that you haven't done your homework on our sport, but I'll be very happy to give you my Olympic gold medal if you can beat my team, which is gorgeous. And then taken to the next level by Luka Doncic's tweet today on Wednesday, saying that, I don't think they realize just how difficult handball is. And for those of you who don't know Luka Doncic, he's a Slovenian NBA player, so somebody who is kind of backing handball over the other side of the pond.
Not any NBA player now, some hot property at the moment. But I think the whole discussion, you can really see how angry people have gotten with the way people have interacted with the tweet. There's like basically three ways you can interact with a tweet. You can like something, that's kind of the minimum you can do. You can retweet it, or then you can quote retweet it. And when someone quotes a retweet, you know there's something a little bit more behind it. And I don't think we've ever had more quoted retweets ever, you know, and everyone was given their 2 cents on the situation. So you could really see that people were riled up for this one. And it's not stopping. For days after we put the tweet up, it's still going. And then today it's exploded again, and it's not going to stop.
It's difficult for us to even have a proper discussion on this, because it's so difficult to take it seriously, this statement. We all know that handball players are incredible athletes, and not only just incredible athletes, there's a level of skill involved in handball that we as Irish people have never been able to learn in our many years of trying.
one thing which this said, which I thought was very interesting in an insulting way, but it was interesting nonetheless, was the thing about the goalkeepers, how they just have some, or when they also looked at the US team and they said, oh, now I'm totally convinced that we could win a gold medal when you see this is the US team. But there is something in handball where a lot of handball players look really unassuming. And I don't know what it is about handball, but you have a lot to the very highest level where handball players look really unassuming. And I don't know if it's the nature of the sport that they have to be such all-rounders and do so many different things that they don't just have one physique for one type of movement or something like that. But it is an interesting aspect that people can look at it at handballs at the highest level and think that they look like your average Joe.
Well, one thing on that, on the video of the US team that was put on ESPN, and again, anyone who doesn't know, you can see this on our Twitter account, but that is of the residency program that they had for a few years in the US. So it's not actually the US team that Alex and I played against a couple of times in the last year, or the team that were at the Pan American Games. These are like guys who, I think maybe one of them or two of them max, are involved in the US team now. So it was a bit unfair as well of the current national team, which is basically a squad full of players who are playing in Europe. But this is not a debate about the US national team as well. It's really about how people consider the sport. And I think what you said there about unassuming players is a very good point. You just have to look at a team like Hungary, for example, who at this European Championship did so well, despite having so many players that don't look like incredible athletes. But there's just so much more about this sport, and that's something they didn't talk about. Of course they didn't talk about it because they have no idea about the sport, but they didn't talk about the tactical side of things, the different type of skills involved. It's not just the case of hashtag pure arm speed, which is my new favorite phrase. Also the thought that nobody else except Americans can throw something hard, which is just fucking hilarious. But hashtag pure arm speed and throwing missiles around. So it's a bit more to it than that. And well, ESPN and that program, Highly Questionable, are going to have another episode today, and we're going to speak to John Ryan just after that is broadcast and see if they, well, it seems they're going to speak about handball again and a follow-up to that. So we'll hear what they have to say and then get the fresh impression from John Ryan. So we got John Ryan on from Team Handball News to react to this crazy week of handball debating. But before we talk to you, John, we've got some fresh footage. The Highly Questionable program on ESPN just aired, and handball was a topic once again. Let's hear what they had to say.
Do you question if we should rethink our opinion of handball?
Okay, I don't know the we speak of here. I feel like Dominique Foxworth was the most aggressive in saying that he would be a handball champion. But let's go back a second. Jay Cutler was with Barstool, and he told them, I could win a gold medal with a couple of athletes just playing handball. And then let's see if I'm remembering this wrong. I felt like I sat this out. Sarah Spain didn't sit it out. I know Dominique didn't.
I've watched that game before, and I feel like it's not like this is soccer and it's just not a big deal here. I'm sure handball is a big deal somewhere, but no one is an 8-year-old is like, I want to play handball. You know who plays handball? The people who couldn't make it in soccer, couldn't make it in football, wow, couldn't make it in basketball. So I know it's completely disrespectful to all handballers
really
out there,
really,
but I don't care.
Are gonna be in your mention.
Oh yeah, all 8 of them gonna be in my mention.
Yeah, Jay Cutler would absolutely be
he would annihilate them. He would wipe the floor with
and
them.
And Dom would too.
Ooh. Okay, I didn't sit it out, evidently. So here's Luka Doncic getting in on the back end here. He's saying, we don't know what we're talking about. He says, no chance. People do not know how hard it is to play handball. And look at that. Look at the three faces he's mocking down there. What do you have here, Sarah, by way of rebuttal?
I did, in fact, say that we were all being stupid Americans about it until they showed us the clips of the roster. And then I started having a little bit of fun with it. I spoke to a handball expert. And the best part about it was he was like, I was just with Jay Cutler talking to him about this, but he was with the weightlifter Jay Cutler, not the quarterback Jay Cutler. And then I said, no, the quarterback Jay Cutler. He goes, oh, yeah, he's not nearly fast enough. No chance. So my rebuttal is I do not want hands with the handball community. I think we've massively underestimated their power and also the athleticism of the people who play this. I'm out on this forever.
Well, I'm with Dominique in this sense because, you know, growing up, I was a big fan of the Olympics, and I've always said, you know what? I guarantee I could win a gold medal in fencing. I've often said that. But I am not going to get on the other side of the handball community, by the way. That phrase right there, the handball community. Not going to get on their bad side, nor will I get on Luka Doncic's bad side. He's tweeting the show. That makes this show cool.
So there you go. So it only took a week, and somehow we've got handball on ESPN twice again. We had it on twice during the Men's Euro, once during the Women's World Championship. This time people actually talking about it, and we forced an apology out of them at last. John Ryan, what have you made of this last week and Cutlergate?
Well, it's quite a promotion for the sport in the U.S. There's no complaints whatsoever about that. Anytime you got people being introduced to sport, and quite frankly, who knows how many people saw it there for the first time just with that little take on that show.
The video that was posted that has been quote tweeted so many times now, Luka Doncic helped push it to a brand new level. I think it's close to like 300,000 views now, which is pretty incredible just on our Twitter account. And now twice on ESPN as well. That has to be the big takeaway from this, the recognition and the this widespread attention that it's gotten in comparison to 3 years, 11 months and 2 weeks of the year when it's not the Olympics and nobody really gives a damn in the U.S.
Yeah, I think it also shows the power of social media. If you target it properly and you get something to go a little bit viral, I think those sort of comments have been made in the past. They've either been in a newspaper article or a web article or something. And, you know, maybe an athlete, you know, like Luka Doncic or maybe even Dirk Nowitzki, you know, 10 years ago would see it, but they would just like talk to, you know, a few of their friends and go like, oh, this is really stupid what they're saying about handball. And that would be the end of it. Now, Luka Doncic tweets about it and you get a cavalry rush of people coming to the sport's defense.
But you must have heard that kind of opinion quite a lot, trying to promote handball in the USA. How do you deal with that kind of question or that kind of mentality that many people in the US might have?
Well, there's actually a little bit of truth in what Dominique Foxworth, I think he played in the NFL for 4 or 5 years, never was a big star. You know, it's the people that don't, you know, play other sports. And in the U.S., that is true. I think a lot of people come to the sport after their career in basketball or football or baseball doesn't pan out. So there's some truth to that aspect, but it totally neglects the reality of what the sport is in other parts of the world. And they just don't have a concept for how professionalized the sport has become.
I think for me, it's actually quite poignant that it was Luka Doncic that tweeted about it, because he had to almost face the same stereotypes when he was coming into the NBA. He was a Euro player. He was playing against less athletic players in Europe. He went third in the NBA draft, even though he was the MVP of the second best league, basketball league in the world. And it's that focus on physical speed and strength and, you know, pure power in American sports that kind of clouds the judgment of sports that require a lot more kind of precision decision taking. I think maybe that aspect was just not taken into consideration when thinking about handball.
You know, part of the problem when they did their little show, they showed a little bit of our old team that we had at Auburn, which bunch of hardworking guys, but they weren't NBA class athletes, maybe not even Division One class athletes for our collegiate sports. But the reality is, if you watch professional handball, you watch the top players. If you watch them for a little while, you're going to quickly come to the conclusion that these guys are athletes. Mm. All right, maybe they're not LeBron James, but there's only a handful of people in the world that, I mean, there is only one LeBron James. Yeah. The level of athleticism is just not that different.
I was actually, I was looking up some stats from the Euros and trying to compare it with American sports. And as you say, just even, so this is one tournament of data versus a full season of an NFL season, for example. And the top speed stat, the fastest player in the Euros was Jerry Tolbring, who got to a speed of 32 kilometers per hour. The fastest sprint in the NFL in the whole season was 34 kilometers per hour. And they have a lot more room to gain speed as well. I think we have to understand that. Well, we do understand, but we really can't underestimate exactly how spectacular handball athletes are.
I'm in total agreement with you there. And I saw somebody had a pretty good comment, I thought, on Twitter. You know, when you're talking about the greatest athlete in the world, every sport is a little bit different. You know, LeBron James is not going to be a good fencer. He's not going to be a good long distance runner. Yeah. I bet you he's not the best swimmer. You know, it depends on what sports you're talking about in terms of, you know, what athletic characteristics you need.
The conversation in that sense, I think that tweet was in response to Ty Reed after his interview. And he, for the most part, had a very balanced view on everything. And that, I think he was a good person to talk to, seeing as he was a walk-on for a Division I American football team. And now is playing with Flensburg's second team and with the U.S. national team. But he made the point at the end where, if you gave all of the best American athletes the same contracts they're on and a couple of years to train, that they would be able to compete at that level. Whether it is 2 years or 3 years it would take them to compete at a handball level, that's something we'll never know, because these athletes will never play handball. They're playing their sport. And I'm sure this is a topic which is going to come up over the next few years as well, because I know that's a target of the U.S. Federation. But what kind of level athletes do you think are realistic for the U.S. to try and get in the next 8 years in the build-up to the Olympics?
Well, that's where it becomes a little bit of a complicated answer, which we could probably spend an hour, you know, talking about it. But you bring up the point, we're not going to get the pro athletes. They're going to stay with their best sport. And then it becomes a question, okay, we're not going to get the pro athletes, we're going to get the guys that just couldn't quite make the NBA or couldn't quite make the NFL. And when you start to look at that type of athlete, you're still going to get a pretty good athlete, but you've lost that physical superiority edge. I mean, if we can argue that, you know, the NBA players aren't that much different from our top handball athletes, well, I can guarantee it, they're as good, maybe in some cases better, than our NBA and NFL rejects. And now you've got comparable athletes who've never played the game before. It's going to take them a while to learn how to play the sport. you know, you talked a little bit about Jay Cutler.
Yeah.
Take somebody like that who was all-state basketball in high school and all-state baseball, in addition to being, you know, an eventual NFL quarterback. There's probably dozens of guys that don't make it to be an NFL quarterback that have that kind of background. But it takes a while for an athlete like that to learn the sport. Monologuing here, but my biggest concern is if you start to take some of those athletes and train them up, there's a big cost associated with that.
Yeah.
And how do you take that cost that could be sunk into grassroots where we might get some of the younger players coming up as handball players? It's the short-term fix versus the long-term fix.
And I mean, something we spoke about in one of our very first podcasts 2.5 years ago with yourself and Mark Hawkins, who came through the British talent identification scheme. And in the end, there were 4 or 5 players like Mark who came from either basketball or football or American football in one case. And they were a part of the team, but they were not the core backcourt or line players. All those players came either from abroad, they were dual nationality players, or they were handball players who were born and raised in the UK and just happened to be good enough. So in the end, I guess that will be it is the big question. As you said, it's a very complicated question to answer, but something we're gonna learn a lot more about over the next 8 years. John, you're quite good at doing the analytics as well and how much attention handball gets in the USA, and as we've seen in the past, during the Olympics is the big peak for it. Will you be doing something similar now to see what kind of reach overall the sport got in the US?
Well, you know, that's a good question. Google has a nice setup with their analytics that they can talk about search terms. Mm. And I bet we got a little bit of a plus up. But since a lot of this was driven by social media, that might not show up with the Google trending the way that it does when people just see it on TV and they plug into Google. There'll be some of that for sure. I don't think it'll be, you know, as pronounced as like what happens during the Olympics. Yeah.
But certainly on social media, as you said, it's been a whirlwind, and it's pretty crazy that U.S. handball and the mocking of the sport from athletes in the U.S. has caused this massive debate and unified the handball community in a real way to take on, pardon my take on ESPN for a week.
Well, you know, it does bring up the other possible promotion tool, which is the reality show concept, which was going to take some athletes like Jay Cutler and put them into a training situation and then have them develop as a team to maybe go to Europe and play some club teams, then maybe take on the U.S. national team. That was the original concept. You can still see something really interesting, especially you look at that Dominique Foxworth tweet, the one he just had. I mean, he's talking some serious smack.
Yeah.
what did he say? He said, "Hey, handballers, also known as failed soccer basketball players, chill out. My mentions are full. There's a reason Luka Doncic and Bosnian Beast 27 aren't pro handballers. I can't wait to make the USA team handball squad, to make the US team handball squad." It looks like he had some problems with his grammar there. Win the goal. He's saying he's going to make the team and win the goal.
That's it. Well, I mean, one thing has come out of this. It's Dominique Foxworth and Jay Cutler are now a lot more famous in Europe than they've ever been. So their shit stirring has worked really well in that sense. And yeah, although ESPN might have apologized, I don't think there will be any backing down from the Barstool Sports guys or from Dominique. So maybe we will see these guys in action someday. That's the big hope. I really want to see them give it a go at some point. And I hope, as you sent me a link earlier on with Jay Cutler and his, what is it, $121 million earned? He's got plenty of money to organize a little exhibition game and a training camp beforehand.
These guys do have time and money.
They literally have both.
Maybe they won't go to the Olympics, but you know what? Show up at the U.S. National Championships with a team and take on some of our club teams. With the right amount of training, they could probably be fairly competitive, but I still bet they would lose to our top club teams. Mm. That would be really interesting to see.
Well, keep pushing it, and we might get our wish. We'll have the Barstool Sports HC at the U.S. National Championships next year. John Ryan, thanks a lot.
And thanks, and great job getting that out on social media and getting that exposure for the sport here. You know, if enough people pile on, we'll maybe surge this right through toward the Olympics and beyond.
That's it. Keep pushing. Good stuff. Thanks, John.
Thank you.
As great as it's been to debate the merits of the sport, I think it's probably time to actually talk about handball and what has happened in the handball world since the European Championships. Because, as we know, handballers never rest.
No.
And even in the space of our last podcast after a final and this one, Kiel have played and won 3 matches. Domagoj Duvniak has played in each match, including a match where he landed after partying for a whole weekend in Croatia. He landed in Kiel and went straight from the airport to Hamburg, where they had a test game, and played 40 minutes. So I think that's one thing no one can question, the absolute brutal attrition of handball and probably more specifically the Bundesliga.
Yeah, the crazy thing is that they had a top-of-the-table match against Hannover Burgdorf in their first real match of the new year, and they absolutely killed it. And it looks like after the results of the weekend that they've really taken a step forward and looked like the standout contenders now for the Bundesliga.
They continue to impress, and they also had a big win against Vardar in the first game of the kind of, let's say it's the second half of the Champions League season. They really dominated it, won by 11 goals. And very interestingly, the big stars of the European Championship, Duvniak, Bilic, Zarabets, hardly contributed to it. They really, I think between them, they scored 3 goals. It just shows the strength of their team that they can give these guys a bit more of a rest and still dominate a top club like Vardar. A top club like Vardar that might not be a top club for a long while. It's a reoccurring story, but we heard that potentially the great owner of the Macedonian team could be pulling out again.
Ah, Sergei Samsonenko, huh? It's the same dance every year, though, isn't it? That he threatens to pull out and then kind of changes his mind. The only problem is that it seems like every year, like the situation is getting worse for them, and there will be no miracle Champions League victory this time around. If I'm proven wrong, I'll be happily proven wrong, but it's not happening this time around. They don't have the squad for it. But do you think that, or is anything suggested to you that this threat to pull out could be the one that actually happens?
I think it does actually seem a bit to have a bit more gusto behind it. There's also the news came out that Vardar matches won't be shown on the national television station for the rest of the season. The Champions League games won't be live on the national channel. And I think it's this run of bad performances, which is, I think it just shows how fickle nations can be with sport.
Yeah, that's crazy. Hopefully the fans will continue to support them. But yeah, it's pretty nuts that, you know, two-time champions in the last 3 years, and like after the receptions they've gotten after those two Champions League victories, that all of a sudden a few bad games, and whether they're on a four-game losing streak in the Champions League, and people seem to be turning their backs on them. But, well, they still have a few games left to rescue the situation and try and put themselves in a decent position for the last 16 in what is, to be honest, quite a tough group. So I don't see them at the moment doing anything better than sixth place.
I think the biggest news in the last week has been also quite tragic news, and maybe slightly drowned out by this American drama story. And that is Victor Tomás, the legendary Barcelona winger, 18 years at the club, having to retire this season. And I think we all expected the retirement to come eventually. He was, his stature in the club was diminished. But the real tragic part of it is that it was heart problems that made him stop here and now. I think that's very unfortunate, because he definitely had a lot of years of good handball left in him. And that there was a huge tribute, huge outpour of thanks and congratulations for his career. In the Spanish media, the president of Barcelona, Bartomeu, held the press conference with Victor Tomás, where through tears he had to announce this retirement.
Yeah, and not a lot of games left for him in the Palo Blaugrana as well, in the Champions League. There's only a couple of rounds left in this group phase. You assume this Barcelona team, the way they're going to go, will probably get to the final four. So that the second leg of the quarterfinal is going to be quite an emotional event for him. And I mean, I hope, and I assume Barcelona will get to the final four, and it'll be a fitting way for him to end his career in Cologne, because he's been such an amazing servant to the sport. I'd like to think that, and Barcelona suggested as well, that he'll be involved in the club in some way in the future. Hopefully the heart condition that he speaks of, and the reason why he is retiring, isn't something that will keep him away from being an active part of the sport. I mean, if he can play out the rest of this season, it seems like it's not something that puts him in immediate danger, more that's degenerative. But hopefully he'll be still involved in the sport. And from our chat with him last year, and every time I've met him before, such a gracious man, always got time to speak to you, always very always very caring, and a brilliant player. So yeah, I really just hope for him and for Barcelona that his big farewell will come in Cologne in the end of the season.
That would be great. And I remember 2 years ago when Narcisse had his big farewell. It was a real amazing moment. Even though he came on for 2 minutes, the whole arena stood up and gave him a round of applause just to appreciate his career. So that would be a nice touch if we get that for Victor Tomás. And maybe, who knows, he could play a vital role in this final four.
Other big news is the sacking of France coach Didier Deschamps. He has lost his job after France were eliminated in the first round of the EHF Euro. Something that we heard a lot of during the Euro was going to happen. And we even saw that it was going to be announced just after the Euro. Does it come as any surprise to you? Not the fact, obviously we knew it was probably going to happen, but the decision itself. Does that come as any surprise to you, Alex?
I think the decision of the sacking was not a huge surprise, because we heard rumbles, and with our chat with Kevin Delmas, it was more than just how the team was playing or performing. It was there was layers to it, where you know, this integration of the younger players versus this old school team that has been there and done that wasn't quite working. What really surprised me is that the person that they replaced them with was Guillaume Gil, who is, you know, he's cut from the same cloth as Didier Deschamps in terms of being in that legendary France team that conquered the world, and being a former teammate of players like Nicolas Karabatic and Cedric Sarando. So all those kind of issues that kind of reared their head coming into this championship and probably contributed to France having such a bad performance. I feel that hasn't been solved. You know, the other option that was talked about was Patrice Caneyer, which I think, I don't know why it didn't happen. Maybe Patrice didn't want the job, but I think he would have been an incredible coup for them and could have really brought them into this next stage. But of course, they have the Olympics on their mind. So they have an Olympics qualification tournament and then the Olympics in the summer. So maybe they didn't want to quite make a drastic change.
Yeah, that's what I feel. I think when you've got the Olympic qualification tournaments coming up so soon and the Olympics just after that, so these two major tournaments in the space of a few months, they clearly don't want a change in tactical approach, it seems. The issue, as far as the Federation or maybe even the players are concerned, is with Dinar himself and the way he was dealing with the team, which is something that Kevin Domas told us about as well during the Euro. So maybe keeping the assistant coach and moving him up to the head coach suggests that they want some kind of succession. In that sense, they want to keep things the way they are for the most part. Don't want to rock the boat too much. And I feel, though, in a very French way, like we've seen with French football teams and French rugby teams in the past, that probably the players are going to end up ruling the team. And that doesn't always go so badly.
A good fight has fueled France's hopes in the past. And I think the point of appointing Guillaume Gil is to be more of a mediator, to be the figurehead for this team, because they made a huge effort to get Eric Mathé, who is the current head coach of Chambry, to become the assistant coach for this period. They made a huge effort to kind of prize him out of the club, although it did help that Guillaume's brother Bertrand Gil was on the board of Chambry, so that probably eased the negotiation talks a little bit. But I have a feeling that Guillaume Gil will be more of the figurehead, the guy to bring the team together to make the difficult decisions, while Eric Mathé will be the more tactical, nuanced, and very specific type of coach, which might work for them.
It'll have to work pretty well for them, because the qualification tournament that they're involved in for the Olympics is pretty damn tough as well. Just off the top of my head, I think it's with Croatia and Portugal and Tunisia in there. So that is, it's going to be in France, so they have home advantage. But France, Croatia, Portugal and Tunisia fighting for two spots in the Olympics is going to be one hell of a battle. And that's really exciting. And not the easiest first task for Guillaume Gilles as head coach.
Yeah, and let's see how it goes. I can't wait to watch another France-Portugal game. And but as a last note, I think we have to say that Didier Deschamps has done a pretty good job. He's had four competitions, a gold in 2017 in the World Championship, followed by two bronzes, and then obviously a pretty disappointing group stage exit. So we wish well to Didier Deschamps, and I hope he does come back into the handball world quite quickly.
So that's it for this week's Handball Hour. We'll actually be back next week with our Women's Team of the Decade podcast, which we promised you back in December. We're going to speak to Yelena Erich, Women's World Championship silver medalist in 2013. So that's definitely one to look forward to. And in the meantime, there's plenty of big handball on the way. It's really heating up all around Europe, all the big leagues, including the Bundesliga and French League, either already back in action or coming up this week. Women's Champions League is already two games into the main round. The Men's Champions League has just returned, and I'm doing Match of the Week this Saturday between Montpellier and Kiel. So that's definitely one to look out for on EHF TV. But besides that, Alex, which game are you most looking forward to watching this weekend?
So my game of the week that I will be watching, I think, is going to be Porto versus Veszprém. I want to see this Portuguese team come back again and with new vigor, with new confidence, and take on the big boys in Veszprém.
And so much more experience as well, with what, 8 players who played in the Euro. I'm really looking forward to seeing them as well. Exciting times. Thanks to John Ryan for coming on. Hopefully that's the end of the shit talking in the handball world for a couple of weeks at least, and we can stick to the real stuff. And thank you all for listening. We'll catch you next week. Goodbye.
And remember to work on your hashtag pure arm speed.